Mention and some of the outreach programs in particular. I'm interested because we're talking to the farmer audience about the sites out in the counties across the state. So we could talk maybe about Dixon Springs and other places where the research farms are located.
We have a system of research farms that's developed over the years that allows us to do research that's particularly suited to a region, addressing problems that are important to that climatic part or climate in Illinois. Our most northern facility is at Chabot and DeKalb County, and that one is focused on primarily corn and soybeans, as is the facility of Monmouth in western Illinois. We have Brownstown more in central Illinois, just south of Interstate 70. Far southern Illinois is Dixon Springs, a very large center with a very rich history. And then, obviously, our large center of about 3,000 acres here on campus at the University of Illinois. We have other sites that focus on primarily beef cattle, and that's at the Orr Center in just outside of Perry, western Illinois. And then our horticulture work close to the urban center in Chicago in the suburbs, just on the west side of St. Charles.
How do we fund those particular research facilities?
There's some base funding that comes through the university as part of the University of Illinois Agricultural Experiment Station. There are local funds, there are grant funds, and increasingly local groups are putting together endowments to support those. We're very excited about a development in support of the facility in Monmouth. We're saying to local farmers and other users that in the future we would expect that you provide about half of the local sustaining support, and we'll take it as our obligation to find ways to provide the other half through research grants and other activities.
And Chancellor, it brings up the idea that it's really hard to find all of the money that is needed to sustain the mission of a land-grant institution, mm-hmm. the three-pronged mission, the research, the outreach, and the education. What kinds of initiatives does the university have on a grander scale across this campus and maybe all three campuses, Springfield and Chicago included?
That's exactly the right question, Todd. The first, let me just go back a little bit to what Dean Easter captured so eloquently, the origins of this great institution now, which are originally, shall we say, the agriculture and mechanical arts, so what we used to call ag and engineering. But really what we're talking about is being attentive to the public good. And I think in my view, I've thought about extension writ large and how we bring the knowledge of our provided by our research, our faculty, our staff, and our students to the public. So, and that leads me a bit into the answer to your question. So when it comes to the College of Engineering, for instance, I think their version of extension could well be and is certainly seen as working with the private sector, working with corporations. And I'm actually very pleased to see that, and it's not just engineering, but I would actually count ACES heavily in this, and other segments of the campus that are the corporate portion of our research portfolio has tripled in the past few years. And a big bump, of course, came from the wonderful arrangement we have with Beyond Petroleum, as they refer to themselves, BP, with the Energy Bioscience Institute. And I think that is a piece of what we do. Our College of Social Work, working with the Department of Children and Family Studies in the state. So I think we do seek funds broadly, both from the private sector, from other state agencies, and significantly from our friends. We're in the midst of on this campus, a $1.5 billion campaign. And the good news is we passed $1 billion last June. We're 63-64% of the way through the campaign in 52% of the time. Yet at the same time, we're in a vexed situation. The finances are such that we need to the cost of attendance continues to go up, and we need to raise a serious amount of funds for scholarships. And so we're out to do that from friends and alumni. So The funding is through the state. It's through the students and parents, and they've been asked to pay a larger share as the state's not been able to keep up with inflation, if you will, and through private fundraising. It's a complex situation.
Listeners, if you'd like to join our conversation, you can do that toll-free at 800-222-9455 or 217-333-9455 on the business partners. Does it impair in any way the ability of the university to do research on behalf of the state's taxpayers?
Not at all. In fact, I would argue quite the contrary. Many of our partners are, in fact, state corporations, ADM, Caterpillar, Abbott Lab. I think we have 1,300 of our alums at Abbott Lab. And as you know, we have a major effort going on in economic development for this community called our Research Park. We've made enormous investments there, and thanks to Fox Atkins and efforts made by this campus, that has been enormously successful in not easy times, I would add. And I think it comes a bit to the kind of students we have, the kind of faculty we have, which makes this place increasingly attractive for businesses to move in. Big names, ADM, CAT, SAIC, all moving in, expanding their space. State Farm is here with us and has been a great partner for many years.
Dean Easter, there's a similar sort of relationship with some of the commodity associations, right? The pork producers, the beef association, corn growers, soybeans.
Yeah, it's been our culture for many years to view this as very much a partnership, and we work closely with those organizations. They have opportunities to bring significant funding to the table. When a bushel of soybeans is sold, there's a checkoff, a certain amount of money that gets put into a kitty to support a number of activities. And significant in that is research, several million dollars, in fact, a year in the state of Illinois, funded through the checkoff program. Similarly with pork and beef, and also some with corn. The opportunity also to work with the business interests of the state, when our technology finds its expression with a business in Illinois that then markets that technology around the world, it creates jobs in this state. It creates economic development. And that partnership, we think, serves the state very well.
Yeah, let me just add one dimension here, because I think we're both talking about the way we create jobs. And if you look at the research dollars, 46 cents on every dollar goes to personnel. And these are people we hire. These are people who pay taxes, who buy homes, and who whose children go to schools in this great community. So we see ourselves as a great engine of economic development, and increasingly we're working very closely with the with Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy, and in particular on issues of the schools as well.
Well, Dean Easter, we'll have to let you go for the afternoon. I know you have a faculty meeting to rush off to in Mumford Hall. Make the trip safely, about a mile to the south of us, and we'll continue our conversation with the chancellor of the university in just a bit.
It's a beautiful day for a brisk walk. Thank you, Todd.
Well, it will be a brisk walk if you need to be there by 3 o'clock, that's for sure. We've been talking this afternoon with the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. His name, of course, is Bob Easter. We'll continue our conversation in just a bit, 2 minutes, in fact, with the chancellor of the university, Richard Herman. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like on this Friday afternoon. A frost advisory is in effect for Elkhart, LaGrange, Steuben, Noble, and DeKalb counties in north central and northeastern Indiana. That from 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Saturday. Tonight, skies across the two-state region should be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 34 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 47 in some central and southern locations. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 63 in the far northern part of Indiana to near 80 in the far south. The extended forecast looks like temps should turn warmer. High Sunday, mostly in the 70s and the 80s. That'll be the case on Monday and Tuesday as well. The overnight lows for those 3 days next week, mostly in the 50s. The warmer weather will aid crop maturation, says our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. A few scattered showers possible on Sunday into Monday in northern and western parts of Illinois, but mostly dry weather will prevail across Illinois and Indiana through Monday. That'll favor harvesting ahead of a wetter period. Periods of rain will begin on Tuesday and will be likely through Thursday. That'll slow down the field work. There may be a break in the rain field on Friday and Saturday, but the outlook for the week of October the 12th through the 18th has a continued chance of showers on a frequent basis. The temps will likely have ups and downs, but generally run near to slightly above average. A freeze is not expected through October the 18th.
Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at tnol.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Harvest Hour edition, a production of WILL, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In studio with us this afternoon to continue our discussion is the Chancellor of the University of Illinois. His name, of course, is Dr. Richard Herman. Dr. Herman, thanks for staying with us this afternoon.
I'm delighted.
You know, I'd like to maybe take up a discussion about the future of the land grants across the nation. Is it possible that over the coming years that land grants will find more themselves in more need of finances and possibly need to find niche markets that they will service? And have we thought here on this campus about what those niches might be, if that's the case?
Well, I think we always think about what our signature is. We can't be all things to all people. And in stressed financial times, we begin to, we always think about priorities, but that, process gets accelerated in difficult financial times. But I will tell you that on this campus, we are building on our rich past, undoubtedly the leader in the world in high-performance computing. And I think that is going to play heavily into our relations with the private sector, which will eventually and has affected the bottom line for many corporations. Our international posture is something that concerns us greatly. We try to prepare our citizens for our students to be global citizens. I mean, they will take jobs all over the world, or either in the academy, which may be in the United States, but in corporations which are increasingly global. The position of our law school and business school. What's our relations in Chicago? What is our signature in Washington D.C.? How do we continue our wonderful relations with Silicon Valley? We have contributed greatly there through our graduates, through Tom Siebel, through Max Levchin, through our through Javed Karim and Steve Chen, founders of YouTube, PayPal, and of course Siebel Systems in reverse order. So we always think about things like this. I think the biggest challenge is that in a way that this mortgage crisis brings on is that many people send their children to us, and I don't have precise numbers, by having a second mortgage on their home. And this is probably true at many public institutions. So what is going to happen to those individuals? Will we be losing the middle class unless they have access to financing? So that is perhaps the question that is most on my mind.
Any thoughts for solutions?
Well, we have announced effectively a $200 million campaign for scholarships. That's 100 new, which will be matched. Honestly, I think we could probably, based on what we anticipate as need, go to $300 million. So we are going to be out there appealing to our friends and to other private monies for this purpose. Hopefully, that will be sufficient. But it is a large national problem, and I think the over the years, for instance, Pell Grants for those who live at the in the first two economic quintiles have not gone up very much, and I think the federal government needs to be attentive to that. State financial aid has always been robust, and we're grateful for that.
So your push is to make a land-grant education, at least in this state, more accessible to all?
It has to be. A public higher education sees 85% of those who go to higher education. We only at great risk would think about abandoning that mission of accessibility. And that's something we can ill afford to do and would not do.
On that note, how do you deal with rural communities and developing students out of those communities, for instance? And I don't remember what the admissions are. They differ from one place to another. But a small school with less than 50 students per class, the top 10% might not include some awfully good students.
Right.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, I think the one is the answer is we know our high schools quite well, certainly within this state. We've been fortunate enough to receive many of their graduates over a long period of time. So while we are, as you perhaps note, seeking those in the top 10% of their graduating class, we do full folder reviews, and we know what the meaning of the courses are. But we're also about, you know, giving kids an opportunity, individuals who perhaps might not fit that 10% profile. I started a program 4 years ago called Illinois Promise, targeted at those children of families who live at the poverty level. And we now have 650 wonderful students on this campus because of that program. And unfortunately, ACT, for instance, is tied heavily to economic circumstances. So we're trying to get beyond the ACT and beyond the top 10%, even as we struggled to get more and more of the top 10%. So it is a balancing act. And I think one of the other ways we are reaching out to rural communities is by partnering with the community colleges. So this year, for instance, we are engaged heavily with a dozen community colleges. And with Parkland, who's